I remember when my wife was still expecting Ruth at that time. That was definitely many, many years ago. I signed up for a course in Calvary Baptist Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania. And it was a course on hermeneutics some of you took at the Bible Institute before, on Bible interpretation, how to interpret the Bible. And at the end of the course, there was this assignment to answer 10 questions. And one of the questions was to touch on foot washing. And basically, I had to look into the Bible and see what foot washing is about, why the people in the Bible wash foot, as you still do today, of course, but for a different reason, for a different purpose. And most important of all, the question was to target John chapter 13, was to answer the question, is foot washing applicable for Christians today, for churches today? Anyone of you here have ever attended a church or know any church, be it in Singapore, Philippines, or US, that practice foot washing as an ordinance? Indonesia? No lah. In the States, I believe. I'm not sure of any church in Singapore. Maybe Singaporeans don't like to wash other people's food. I don't know. Okay? But foot washing, let me give you a bit of introduction. Foot washing was a cultural practice. By cultural, you already know that it is a Jewish thing. It was a cultural practice carried out both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament time. Although not so much mentioned in the New Testament, but very much mentioned in the Old Testament. So for a lay person like you and I, most likely when we look at or when we read about foot washing in the Bible, we straight away would think of it as a practice to wash away dust, stains, or even odor, right? And in other words, foot washing was for cleanliness purpose. That's all. On the other hand, as I mentioned, for a Christian who is familiar with John chapter 13, whereby Jesus washed his disciples' feet and even gave them some instruction, which I will come to that later, and Christians who look at that might reckon that foot washing probably has some other significance. So is that the case? That's what we want to look at this morning. In this Bible study, we want to look at the practice of foot washing. In what ways were they carried out and what they meant, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament times. Then we want to study its applicability to our culture and practice today. That means, if foot washing is transferable today, right, to this day, how much of it can be transferred? And should it even be transferred in the first place? Not every Bible practice is transferable to our lives today. Alright, not everything that you read in the Old Testament, you have to do it today. Alright, so is foot washing one of them that can be transferred, that should be transferred? If it is transferable, even partially, then we got to know how much of it, what of it is transferable, because as a New Testament Bible believing church, we want to do everything that the Word teaches, right? So is foot washing one of them? First of all, let's look at foot washing as a cultural practice, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament time. That means, in what ways was foot washing carried out? In what ways? First of all, it was for the purpose of cleanliness, as I mentioned earlier. As we know, roads in ancient times were mostly sandy or muddy paths. Sandy and muddy paths without proper tiled or cemented surfaces. And you probably know what kind of footwear ancient people wear? Sandals. Sandals, alright? They wore sandals, no flip-flop, but sandals. And how much can a pair of sandals cover your feet? Not much. Alright, especially with those leather strap, not like the keen sandals, right, which wrap up your toe and the whole, almost your whole feet. But these are leather straps which cover only mainly the bottom of your feet. So travelers would most of the time, after long distances and after traveling here and there, and even pedestrians who journey on the streets will inevitably end up with muddy and sandy feet. So let me point you to Genesis chapter 18 verses 3 to 4 when Abraham saw the three men at his tent door not knowing yet that one of them was in fact the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his first response out of courtesy was verse 3, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." That means, hold on, don't go away. And see what, and read what's the next thing he said. "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched to quench your thirst." No, to wash your feet. To wash your feet. Why? So that you may come into my tent and have a seat and then have a cup of tea. So that was the purpose, right? To wash the feet because it was all muddy and sandy. It was necessary for people in the Old Testament and New Testament to wash their feet for comfort, for cleanliness, before entering their own house or someone else's home. In some instances, as recorded in various passages in the Bible, the house or the tent guest did not wash the feet of the guest, but instead allowed someone else to wash them. And most of the time it is the lowliest servant in the house. In this case it was Abraham in Genesis, but it could be someone else, a lowliest servant in the house, to wash the guest's feet. Let's look at 1 Samuel 25 verse 41. When the servants of David arrived at the house of Abigail, we read in this verse, "She arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." So it could be the owner of the house, it could be the servant of the house. And in addition, houses in those times were probably built close to streets and had dusty interiors. So for the same reasons of comfort and hygiene, people in ancient times also washed their own feet before going to bed. I had an auntie who stayed in Kluang. Kluang is in Malaysia. And I remember her house was just next to what we call the Red Soil Road. I don't know, Red Soil Road. It's super dusty. And the house is full of red soil 24 hours. Alright, so my eldest cousin, one of her chores was to mop the house, no vacuum cleaner, just broom and mop, was to mop the house every day. Every day, because it was so dusty, it was red soil, and when car zoomed past, all the red soil would just come out and then would get into the house. So imagine going to bed with sand on your feet and all over your bed sheet. You know, so you wouldn't like it, right? Definitely. So one of the other practice is for even every Jew to wash their feet before going to bed. For the same reason of comfort and hygiene, people just do that. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 8, King David, after meeting and talking to Uriah, gave him an instruction to retire to his own house, and he said to him, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And wash thy feet. By implication, go down to your house, wash thy feet, take a rest, sleep on your own bed. Sleep on your own bed. Okay, so that was the cultural practice for cleanliness purpose. Next, there is another cultural practice, and that is for ceremonial purpose. Ceremonial purpose. Let's look at Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 to 19. Verse 17 to 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And this is where God was giving instruction to Moses regarding the construction of the tabernacle. So God told Moses to build a laver, a big basin of brass. For what? To wash withal. To wash what? Verse 19 says, For Aaron and his sons, and who are they? Priests. They shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. So, during the Old Testament time, it was a ceremonial practice commanded by God for the priests to wash their feet and their hand before they serve God in the tabernacle. So, it was more than merely to keep the interior of the tabernacle clean. The priests need to wash their hands and their feet as an act of purification to cleanse away all defilement that they have sustained during their daily ministry. Maybe touching an unclean person or an unclean animal or whatever. So washing their hands and feet was an act of purification to wash away all this defilement before entering into the service of the tabernacle and presenting offering at the altar of God. To this day in Israel, they do that. They have they no longer have that laver, but they have some kind of a basin for the hands, and another one for the feet. You just need to put your feet in and you'll wash, and put your hand in. And if you have been to a mosque, if you have been inside a mosque, that's what they do. The man would go to a washing area, and they'll wash their hands and their feet before they pray inside the mosque. So it's also for ceremonial purpose. So for cleanliness and for ceremonial purposes. Now, we want to see whether these two purposes are applicable today. Are they applicable today as a ceremony and also for cleanliness? The cultural settings pertaining to the practice of foot washing are only partially similar to ours today. In most cultures in the world today, foot washing is not required as a daily chore anymore. Okay, just flashback. How many times did you wash your foot yesterday, last week? Just flashback, all right? And then you will know that foot washing is no longer a daily chore, a regular chore anymore. However, the biblical principles expressed in the practice are transferable to believers today. The biblical principles are transferable to believers today. And we shall elaborate on these propositions based on some questions that I will ask along the way. Number one, is foot washing needed today? Needed. Why or why not? The physical act of foot washing is no longer needed today. The physical act, the chore. Why? Because geographically, modern roads are of much better condition than ancient roads. Am I right? And we stay on the higher floor today, and if not for the haze, our floors and our food, everything will be much cleaner. Right? So, living conditions are different, basically. Paved roads, paved streets are commonly available, especially in Singapore, in the US too. Maybe in Indonesia, slightly different, in Malaysia, slightly different. But most of the places, the condition are different. For practical reason, people in rural areas in the world might still wash their food daily. But generally, no longer required. People now normally wear shoes, don't you? Wear shoes, right? Which cover their whole feet. I've seen some Australians in Australia, they don't wear shoes. They like to be carefree, right? They go out to the shopping mall, they go out to the restaurants barefooted. But that's not normal. I say normally, right? People normally wear shoes. And so to provide greater protection from dirt, unless you're like this boy who went out to play without wearing any shoes. So he can't even take off his boots because he wasn't wearing any shoes, right? Traveling by foot, another thing is that traveling by foot is no longer the norm, right? Even if you don't have a car, you travel by public transport. So what is the chance of your foot getting dirty, dusty, muddy? Very, very unlikely. Very unlikely. So again, no reason to wash your foot that often. And most important of all, pertaining to Christians, believers today no longer worship God in a tabernacle. We no longer worship God in a tabernacle. An offer at an altar. There's no such practice anymore. Moreover, priests are no longer needed as our intercessor between God and us. We have Jesus Christ as our intercessor. Therefore, the ceremonial practice of foot washing is not necessary as well. So both for cleanliness and ceremonial purposes, foot washing is not so needed today. Alright? Next question. Is foot washing commanded as a church ordinance? A church ordinance. Why or why not? What is a church ordinance? A church ordinance is a practice, is a tradition that God has commanded in the Bible for churches today to practice on a regular basis. So what are the two church ordinances? This is Sunday school. Baptism. One more. Lord's Supper. There are only two that we know of from the Bible, and there are only two that our church practice. Right? Because there are only two. Not because we don't like to wash food. Or other people's food especially. Right? But some churches, in fact many churches in the world, institute the practice of foot washing as a ritual. Similar to the way that they would have the Lord's Supper. That means every month or half a year or so, I'm not sure, you know, they would have the priest wash the members' feet, they would have the pastor wash the members' feet, they would have, if it's just the pastor to wash your feet, then maybe you would like it, you know, but they would have even members to wash other members' feet. Okay, as you see in the last picture. So, although foot washing was a ceremonial practice commanded by God under the penalty of death, but it was given to who? Priests in the Old Testament. There was no account of it being carried out with the same purpose by Christians in the New Testament. No, there was no such account. Alright? And it was definitely never commanded in the New Testament as one of the church ordinances to be conducted. So, first reason that I can give to you is that it was never practiced as a commanded action. It was as an imperative in the New Testament. It was never given as a church ordinance in the New Testament. So the cases of foot washing recorded in the New Testament were ordinary cleansing of the feet as a matter of decency for cleanliness. That was all. Look at the example in Luke chapter 7, verse 44, the well-known example where Jesus his foot was washed by this woman who came in and greeted him, and Jesus, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and what should Peter have done? Peter should have either washed Jesus' feet or get one of his servants, if he had any, to wash Jesus' feet. But he did neither. Right? Thou gavest me no water for my feet. You didn't do what you ought to do. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. So, foot washing in the New Testament was more of for cleanliness, for decency purposes. Now, we come to the important passage, the crux in John chapter 13, verse 15. John chapter 13, where Jesus spoke to his disciples after washing their feet. You know of the event, right? Where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples in the upper room. And not just washing to wash their feet, he even gave them some instructions. Alright? And that's what we want to look at. Are those words from Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be followed by believers today? In John chapter 13, this was the time of Jesus' last Passover, commonly known as the Last Supper. For background, let's read John chapter 13, verse 4 to 11. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments after they took their supper. That is, Jesus rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them, every one of them, with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? It means, Lord, serious? You're going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, Yes, I'm going to do it. And what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You won't understand now, but later on, you would. Peter saith unto him, Well, in that case, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Okay, here Jesus was saying, If I wash thee not with my blood to cleanse away your sin, you will not be in me. You will have no part of me. Okay? And verse 9, Simon Peter then saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Right? We know that's how Peter answered, and you could see Jesus slapping his forehead and say, Wow. Right? Wow. And verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Why did he say that? Verse 11, For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not clean. There are actually many things that Jesus is saying in this verse 4 to 11. And I'll come back to a few of the verses later on. Okay? But here, this is the crux of the matter. Whereby people to this very day, Christians to this very day, is asking, what is Jesus saying? Is Jesus saying, or why did he wash the disciples' feet? Is Jesus giving it as an example for Christians today to follow? Okay? And what Jesus basically did here, as we have just read, is that he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Alright? He lay aside his garment, he took a towel, he wrapped himself up, and then he washed the disciples' feet. It was a task, as I mentioned earlier, typically done by who? Servants of the house. And they went to an upper room. Was there any host? No, there was no host. But were their feet dirty? Most likely. So you could expect the disciples were looking at one another. Hey, come on, are you going to do it? No one was going to do it. So Jesus got up, he wrapped himself with a towel, and then he washed the disciples' feet and he wiped them dry. So Jesus literally, as the Bible says in Philippians 2:7, took upon him the form of a servant. That's what Jesus did. And after washing each of the disciples' feet, Jesus asked them if they understood, in verse 12, sorry I didn't put it up, if they understood what he had done. And without letting them reply, he continued in verse 13, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." The disciples addressed Jesus Christ as their Master, as their Lord. And Jesus said, "I acknowledge them all, because I am your Master and your Lord." And here comes the next two verses. Alright, the next two verses concerning whether Christians should practice foot washing, and if so, to what degree. In the next two verses, verse 14 and 15, Jesus continued to say, "If I then, alright, being your Lord and Master, and yes, you have called me, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Oh, that sounds very much like a command, right? "You ought to wash others' feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." It seems quite clear that Jesus is commanding all Christians to wash one another's feet. Because he has done it, he has shown it as an example, and he said, "You ought to do so." No doubt, Jesus was talking to his disciples in the upper room. And indirectly, he was also addressing who? He was also addressing all who address him, who calls him Lord and Master. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we all know that Jesus is not just our Savior. Not just our Savior. The Bible clearly commands that all believers in Jesus Christ, we are to surrender to Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as our Lord and Master. So Jesus clearly was also talking to all of us. So you can't say, "Oh no, I'm not His disciples, so that command is not for me. He wasn't talking to me. I'm out of this foot washing thingy, right? I have no part in it." No, right? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior, this message is for you. Alright? So, it would only be right that we listen to His words carefully as spoken here and follow His instructions. That means to say these words are also for us today. So let us explore a bit further on this foot washing delivered by Jesus Christ. Based on the next question, we want to explore Jesus' purpose of washing the disciples' feet. Was it really to use it as a springboard to give a command to churches from that day onwards? Or was it for another purpose? Let's go back to verse 1 in John chapter 13. We read here, in the beginning of John chapter 13, "Now before the feast of the Passover," before they even went up the upper room, before they had their last supper, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He was going to be arrested, to be crucified, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, that He was to leave His disciples and go back to His heavenly Father. "Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." Just by this verse, you can tell how much Jesus Christ loved us. How much Jesus Christ loved us unto the end. Very touching words about Jesus Christ's love. In that He loved the disciples to the utmost. With this love, accompanying the knowledge that it was time for Him to depart this world, He was to leave His disciples and be glorified, He had this reluctance to leave His disciples. He loved them so much. So that night, foot washing became the object of a vital lesson to prepare the disciples for the ministries in the days ahead. He knew he was not going to be with them anymore. And he knew what was going to become of the disciples, what they would be faced with. And he won't be around to protect them, to guide them anymore. So he wants to give them, he wanted to give them a lesson. A lesson, and this lesson is based on foot washing. Right? The disciples were to carry out his mission on earth after Jesus Christ was gone. Yet, as Jesus perceived it, and as we read in the Bible, there would be competition amongst the disciples as to who was the best foot washer? No. As to who was the greatest of them all? Jesus knew it. That very evening, even after Jesus delivered the lesson on foot washing, even after Jesus told them, as I have washed your feet, you ought to wash other people's, your other's feet. What did the disciples do that evening? They quarreled amongst themselves which of them should be accounted the greatest. Jesus knew that they would fight with one another. And that's why he gave this lesson, to help them get rid of their selfishness and their pride. Jesus, who was their master and Lord, took up the role of a servant, the lowliest servant, to serve the disciples by washing their feet. That was the purpose. The purpose was to teach them true humility by personal demonstration. And this demonstration was grown out of Jesus' relationship with the Father. Jesus did not view himself as any greater than his Father who had sent him. In verse 16, Jesus told the disciples, after washing their feet, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." What Jesus is saying here is that as the Son, he is not greater than the Father. As the one who has been sent to earth to die for the sinners, for all sinners, he is not greater than the one, the Heavenly Father, who has sent him. And Jesus Christ, his will, as we read from the Bible, what was his will? What was his sole focus on earth? It was to do the will of the Father. It was to do the will of the Father. So Jesus desired to know and to do the will of the Father so that his name might be glorified. And his example for the disciples through foot washing was so that they would follow him and serve God and others just as well. Just as simple as that. A very simple lesson on foot washing, that I have washed your feet, you know, and in service to God the Heavenly Father, you should serve others as well. You should serve God as well. Not just by foot washing. You know, if you feel like washing your neighbor's foot, you know, by all means, go ahead, you know, but nothing to stop you. But the lesson here that Jesus gave to his disciples was not just to wash foot, per se. It was more to serve God and to serve others. So the intention of the lesson was to show the disciples how they ought to humble themselves, as Jesus had humbled himself. Jesus, the way I look at it, was not advocating foot washing as an ordinance. No. I just can't find any word down there that says command churches to do it. Rather, he sought to teach humility of spirit. Humility of spirit. As we have just read, who was the one who said, "Don't just wash my feet, wash my hand, wash my whole body"? Who was the one who said, "Lord, don't wash. You can't wash"? Peter, right? But later on in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, Peter learned his lesson. Just as Jesus thought or saw, what Peter couldn't understand then, he understood later. And then he said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, he taught Christians, be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. Admonishing Christians to be girded, just like Jesus was, with an apron or towel, and be prepared to work. Be prepared to serve others. Be prepared to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. Not just to sit around and wait for others to wash your feet. That's the lesson. That's the lesson. Be ready to wash other people's feet by serving others, by serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready to humble yourself and to serve. That is the primary lesson of foot washing as done by Jesus Christ. Now there is yet another truth. As I mentioned, I will come back to verses 10 and a few other verses. There is yet another lesson, another truth in Jesus' words and lesson on foot washing. In a culture of that day, as I mentioned in the beginning of this lesson, a man would wash his feet regularly. Alright, after going out, coming back. And usually, a person would take a bath in the morning to clean himself thoroughly, both physically as well as ceremonially. Alright, as he went through the day traveling on dusty roads, he would normally, again, not take a full bath again. I know some of you would. You know, some of you just go out to the market, come back, you would bathe one more time, go out, come back, bathe one more time, I don't know how many times, right? But normally, in the case, a Jew would just wash his feet. Would just wash his feet after going out and coming back. Alright? So, he instead of just taking bath over and over again. So, Jesus was in fact relating to such a common practice. You know how Jesus do. He usually would say something that would relate to a common practice so that his audience would know, would understand. And in this case, he was relating to the common practice of having a bath in the start of the day and then washing feet regularly throughout the day. As he talked to the disciples, and how did he do that? Well, he used a different washed. In verse 10, Jesus saith to him, to Peter, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. In verse 10, the word washed means bathe all over. The morning bath, alright? That means he that is bathed all over needeth not to wash, and that means a part of the body, partial wash, alright? That means he that have a full bath in the morning needeth have another full bath in the day, but instead just have a partial wash where on any part that is dirty, right? That is what Jesus was saying. Right, and you will see that in also verse 8, verse 12, verse 14. Right, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, that is partial wash. Right, that is partial wash. So what is Jesus Christ saying here? Jesus was telling the disciples that you who are washed fully, right, have your sins cleansed, need not be cleansed and cleansed and cleansed and cleansed again. But Jesus Christ knew that his disciples, just like all of us here, after we are saved, and because we are still in this wicked world, we will, what happened? Regularly be defiled. Be defiled, fall into sin, be tempted and succumb to temptation and this and that. So we will constantly be defiled. Our union with Christ will not be affected because we have been washed, we have been bathed all over. Alright, and this has been brought by what? By the washing of our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a settled relationship. Alright, settled relationship. It cannot be changed. However, our communion, our fellowship with Jesus Christ depends on can be affected. It can be affected because of our sin throughout the day. So whenever a Christian falls into sin, he becomes dirty. And what does he have to do? He wash himself. That part. He wash himself. Alright? And so that the communion, the fellowship with Jesus Christ, which he previously enjoyed, can be restored. Can be restored. Unconfessed sin, as we all know, in a believer's life, will hinder his walk with the Lord. So Jesus' instruction here is very clear. If you have been cleansed, good. But as you go through as you continue your walk on this earth, you will be defiled, you will be dirty. But make sure you clean yourself regularly. Make sure you have your feet washed. Just in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is what John is trying to tell us, that we are to clean ourselves regularly as and when our hand, our feet, our mind, our eye, our ear are dirty. Right? So that would probably be the secondary message that Jesus Christ is delivering in the lesson on foot washing. Jesus made it clear to his disciples that they need to cleanse away any defilement by the confession of their sins to God. So, to answer the question, is foot washing applicable to Christians today? As a way to clean our food, well, definitely, I have guests that come to my house. The first place that they go to is where? The washroom. After saying hi, straight away dash to the washroom. For what? No, not that they need a toilet or whatever, but to wash their feet. And sometimes when we come back home from prayer meeting, you will hear my wife scream, "Who smelly feet?" So you got to wash your feet. So is it part and parcel of life today? Yes, of course. But what is it for? For cleanliness? Yes. For ceremonial? As a ceremonial way of cleaning ourselves? No. Not so much. And pertaining to the church, is it an ordinance that Christians today have to practice? No, I don't see it that way. But is there some biblical principles that can be transferred to Christians today? Definitely, definitely. So this passage, like in John chapter 13, is not a passage that we just skim through and say, "Oh, okay, Jesus washed the disciples' feet." No, it's more than that. Because Jesus humbled himself, we ought to humble ourselves and serve God and serve others. Because Jesus saw the importance for the disciples to wash their feet regularly, we too, so that our fellowship with God will not be affected. Let us pray. All right.